Welcome to Talking Giants, boys and girls. I'm your host, Bobby Skinner, here with my co-host, Justin Pennick, presented by John Boy Media. Justin, we're coming to you on Thursday a little earlier than we usually would because we got some news.
This is unfortunate news, but at the same time, there's a small sector of Giants fandom brain. No, I'm being actually serious, Bobby. I understand we are, you know, we're a fan podcast. We will always be a fan podcast. And hi, Mom. Nice to see you. Hope you had a great day. My mother just came into my room as soon as the podcast started and over the intro. She's thanking me because I made her dinner. You're welcome. Pierogies and kielbasa.
Good job letting our listeners know you listen in your mom's. You live in your mom's basement.
Not basement. I am in my own room, Bobby Skinner. Nate Solder has opted out of the 2020 season, if you have no idea what we're talking about. And very glad he was able to make the decision himself and it didn't have to be made for him in some unforeseen, unfortunate circumstance. This is all unfortunate, especially for him personally. But we can get to why it may be beneficial in the long run for the team. But it sucks for him.
All right. Well, first off, this episode was brought to you by 4 new members of our Patreon. It's growing. We're getting growth every day. Justin, one is George Elmer. Did you know his family actually was like the creator of Elmer's glue, and that's why he has all this money to throw around?
That's right, the $2 a month, yes.
They have snacks, whatever. Who puts their nickname as their name on Patreon? That's weird. We have Robbie Perisco. I know who he is on Twitter, but I also know like some people like to keep their profile confidential. So what's going on, Robbie? I bet you like bacon. Wink, wink. And then Frank the Tank, our guy. So those are our 4 newest Patreons. They do $2 a month. They get, if you're looking at video, I promised these stickers and I got them too small. So I got new ones and they're like literally bigger than my face. They're so big, but they're the Greasy 3 stickers. License plate guy, Talking Giants, Ring of Honor member. He literally has the only t-shirt of that made because we had to take it off our store within like 30 minutes. You get a monthly raffle for a free t-shirt. You can't get that one anymore. And then
You can possibly get the one I'm wearing right now.
Yep. And then some people are in a live stream with us. So we won't do anything video-wise after this part of the podcast. That being said, let's get into it, Justin. Nate Solder opts out. Obviously, everyone's seen the news. That's why we're here. Nate Solder opts out. How do you want to hit this first? Do you want to hit this like contract-wise, play on the field? I say play on the field, right?
I agree. Yeah.
All right. So we've been in the start Andrew Thomas from left tackle from day one, trained since the beginning. Like before we even drafted him, Justin, we were getting heat for saying that. Like we legit got heat for that in January for saying Andrew Thomas should start at left tackle.
Well, it was Valentine's Day that I did say. Now, we didn't want it to happen in this way because also Valentine's Day, we didn't foresee a global pandemic. But Valentine's Day, I was the one who had, I think, one of my favorite lines of this offseason is if the 2020 New York Giants go into the season with Nate Solder as their starting left tackle, you're basically almost waving the white flag before the season even begins. So we have been saying this, like you said, Bobby, January, February, March, and then even after Andrew Thomas was definitely drafted.
Right. All right. So this cements Andrew Thomas at left tackle. There's just no possible way they go with Gates or Fleming or anybody else at left tackle. They're not going to sign anybody.
You're telling me there's not a small portion of zero. Like, and again, let's think of fan. Let's stop thinking of like maybe Giants, quote unquote, analysts and people who are trying to analyze the team. There's not a small part of your fandom that knows that this franchise can do some wacky things. There's not a small part of your brain that says, you know what? There's a chance that they could just throw Thomas at the right side because they're afraid to put him on the left.
There's no way because he's ready for it. They drafted him. They're the ones who drafted him. They believe in him more than I believe on him. They invested more into Andrew Thomas than I invested into him. They believe in him. I still think there was a good chance he was going to start left tackle even if Nate Solder opted in because they realized how bad Nate Solder was. They're not some random dude who's like, oh, he was acting kind of average. No, they realize how bad Nate Solder was last year. So Andrew Thomas has to start left tackle. He just has to. And he should have, anyways. And if we want to, let's rewind a little bit on Andrew Thomas from, let's talk about some draft day takes on him. Going into the draft, he was my guy. I was banging on the table for Andrew Thomas. We got him. And Justin, if you didn't watch film because you're a normal person who doesn't watch film of college players and you just watch your favorite team, you're a normal person. I'm not that guy. I'm insane. I watch all these guys. Andrew Thomas handled the best competition in college football. Kalaivon Chasen, he dominated him all game. Chasen beat him one time, and it wasn't even a sack. Josh Allen, 2 years ago, dominated him. Now, granted, it wasn't a ton of reps, but flat-out domination of him. Romeo Okorah at Notre Dame. Anybody else in the SEC they went up against. Marlon Davidson, who was an NFL draft pick, he was the only person who got a sack on Andrew Thomas, and it was 12 yards deep in the pocket. I remember I did a split video of that where it's like, okay, this is Andrew Thomas versus an NFL player, 12 yards in the back in the pocket with Jake Fromm, who's a statue in the pocket, even though Justin thinks he's a great guy, versus Andrew Thomas getting beat 5 yards deep in the pocket and gets completely spun around. And it happened a lot of times. So he was the best left tackle. He's the best athlete. He has the best shuttle time, which shows athleticism for offensive tackles. And he has the best production. He's got some things to work on. Sometimes he can clamp his hands. Sometimes he lets his feet get too close together. So he has things to work on. But, you know, we talk with our guy Keenan Forney. There's no way that he hasn't been getting better this offseason. He has been. He's been training. And I think, listen, I don't think he's going to be perfect. He's going to have struggles. But there's just no way it's going to be as bad as what Nate Solder was at left tackle last year.
Mr. Brownstone said in our stream, and I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on this, I feel like if they didn't want to start Thomas at left tackle day one, they would have drafted Isaiah Simmons.
Yeah, because then I agree with that. Because I wanted Isaiah Simmons. We talked about a pre-draft. Like, I'm on the Andrew Thomas train, but the thought of losing on Isaiah Simmons scares me. So they don't believe this guy can start left tackle with Nate Solder gone. Like, the only thing Nate Solder had going for him was his contract. And now that's off the book. So I know we're beating a dead horse on this, but this conversation has been forced back upon us. Andrew Thomas at left tackle. There's got to be absolutely zero doubt for me. There's just no possible way that they go with anybody else here.
Yeah, I do want to emphasize again, because I feel like we glanced over it, and I just feel like we do need to say that this situation sucks. Root for the guys in blue, right? I said that I feel Nate Solder with the Nate Solder starting at right tackle, that was the best version of this Giants offensive line. A veteran, good, solid, average presence of Nate Solder at right tackle, that would have been the best version of the Giants offensive line in 2020 with Andrew Thomas at left tackle. So this sucks because this is not the way that you would want this kind of good thing to happen with, okay, Andrew Thomas cemented at left tackle, and now we kind of, you know, we had our position battle episode, you know, a couple days ago. Now it's really like, what in the world is going to be happening at right tackle, and what in the world is really going to be happening at center? So there's even some conversations to be had.
We did brush over it, and that's on me that we did brush over, like, the human element of it. It does, like, now, luckily, I can't believe the NFLPA pulled this all off, by the way, that their contracts are rolling over. So it's not like, you know, I think it would have been a lot tougher decision if these contracts were just completely voided. So good for him that it's not. Probably not so good for the Giants that it's not. But, I mean, and we always have to preface it with this, but, like, Nate Solder, I think he's one of the best, like, people on the team. He's one of my favorite people. I think he's the nicest guy. He gets the most hate, you know, sometimes deservedly so, for his play on the field. Now, some people go overboard. But he gets the most hate. He never claps back. I mean, I've seen some people say some nasty things to that guy online, and he just never responds. And then, like, anyone who's a parent, and I'm not a parent, but I can kind of, I can barely grasp what a parent goes through when they see their kids suffer. They'd rather have themselves suffer. So it's heartbreaking. I've broken down thinking about it, and I don't even know the guy. So I couldn't imagine the pain that him and his wife, Lexi, are going through. So obviously, we did brush over that a little too quick. That's on me,
though. Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I feel better. You know, just as a Giants fan who cares about the team success, number one, and players as well, you enjoy, and I think you take solace in the fact that he made this decision himself instead of, okay, week three, I'm here and I'm trying, and then it's like, oh, something bad happens after that. So we don't want that. You mentioned salary implications and ramifications, and what we think. I don't think this is totally sure. Beat reporters have been, between the Marcus Golden thing and now this, I think beat reporters, their batting average is pretty low. I was going to mention that
because nobody knows for sure, so I'm not putting a bunch of hope in it because they totally blunder the Marcus Golden thing. Let's do right tackle first before we get to the contract.
But hold on. No, but I don't think some people may not fully know what you're talking about when we talk about the salary cap ramifications. So the what? Oh, I'm sorry. Would you like to go?
Let's just go. The contract stuff. Let's get out of the way because it's the most boring part anyways.
What's a salary? 16 or 19 million? I get the 6 and the 9.
19,
nice.
But I think it's 16 because of 3 was like a roster bonus that I heard already got.
Okay, so $16 million off the books for 2020, Nate Solder's contract. Now, that's this year. So now it can kind of lead to a conversation, which we have some mailbag questions about, what do we do with that money? But the salary of this year, that $16 million this year, is going to roll over to 2021, and then 2021's contract and that yearly salary, that's going to roll over to 2022. So I don't even know. Do we even want to get to have that conversation about what happens next year? And if
what sucks is we were planning on this being the last year of Solder, and right. I still think it is, but I think it's more dead cap. It'll be more dead cap, or maybe the dead cap stays on this year. If the dead cap stays on this year, then I think it will be Nate Solder's last year.
Yeah.
Maybe even in the NFL. Like I said, nobody knows. Like I searched so many places. Arch Stapleton wrote an article. So that's where I'm pulling it from, is that basically the base and the bonus come off the books. So it was, you know, between $10 and $16 million in cap space. But since they restructured his contract, there's like a dead money hit of $6 million, but $3 million might be in that roster bonus. So he said to expect it to be around $13 million. Like I said, every beat reporter who has talked about this says they don't know, so we surely don't know.
Yeah.
But the big thing for me is that, and we'll talk about if we want to replace him or find a different position. You know, we have some mailbag questions about that. But the biggest thing is I don't know for sure, but this kind of messes with us next year and the year after.
I don't even think my brain is ready to comprehend that because there's also just so many implications that are now happening for 2020.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's not, because we don't know, you know, we'd just be guessing. And you know what, like let's deal with that free agency when that free agency comes. We barely know how to deal with it then. So I agree. Let's hold off on that. So you want to talk about right tackle then?
Let's talk some right tackle.
All right. So my hope for the offensive line was Andrew Thomas at left tackle and then Nate Solder at right tackle with a battle. But I thought that Nate Solder would be the starter, especially because I was on the Nick Gates for center train 2020. Kind of takes the wind out of my sails on that. Because Justin, Matt Parrott, he's not ready. I like him, but he is a guy that putting him out there, I don't think it'd be great for him because I don't think he's ready. Think about like all the pass rushers we're going up against to start the season. TJ Watt, you know, Nick Bosa, you know, the Rams. There's a lot of guys. And Pat Parrott isn't ready for that. Fleming is a good backup. He's not good, though. He's capable, but I just don't think he's good. He's obviously not a long-term. I want him as a swing tackle. And I think it goes back to, I think we got to put Nick Gates at right tackle.
You mean center?
No, Nick Gates at right tackle. I am off the Nick Gates as center train for 2020. Because I think he's better. He's shown, he only played one game at right tackle. It was against the Jets, but he was the best offensive lineman to show up on that day at the right tackle spot. He's not the perfect guy. He can get bull rushed at times, he may not look great, but I do think he's the best option, and he has the most potential there too. So I think I'm off Nick Gates. Guard is probably be Nick Gates' spot where he'd be the best player at, but you could say that for a lot of offensive linemen. I think you got to go with him at right tackle.
Yeah, I mentioned the good line on our last full episode about putting players in the best position to succeed. Hot take: how that's a good thing. Putting Nick Gates at right tackle, I think you would be putting him in the best position to succeed now that we
guard
have this.
Would be, but yeah, can't. There's no room at guard.
For this football team. Bobby, let me ask you this about Cam Fleming. Because obviously everybody knows their feelings about Nick Gates, and even LPG came on this podcast, and he's a big fan of Nick Gates, and we all think that Nick Gates has had a tremendously high ceiling. We watched a lot of Mike Remmers, and we liked Mike Remmers. We probably like Mike Remmers more than most. from what you've seen of Cam Fleming, and this is even now I have kind of a homework assignment if I want to watch a little bit more of Cam Fleming, you know, maybe even going back to his days in New England as well, since he played in multiple systems in Dallas and New England. Cam Fleming versus Mike Remmers. Let's have a little bit of a comparison discussion of, man, I think you would rather have Remmers, but are they really that different of a player?
I looked at two games of Dallas film, so obviously, you know, it's not fully complete. Mike Remmers was a better player than Cam Fleming. Now, like you said, New England right tackle Fleming may be a better version of him, and that's something, like you said, we should both go look at. But Mike Remmers was a lot better than people gave him credit for last year. He had a couple bad games, but it was like against Chandler Jones and the Cardinals. And then the first game against Dallas, he played really well. The second game, he struggled. But Mike Remmers was very solid, and that's why the Chiefs, a Super Bowl team, signed him to play right tackle. So Mike Remmers, I wanted him back, but I understood that the plan was to draft an offensive tackle and have Nate Solder slide over or however they planned on it. So that's why not bringing Mike Remmers back was the thing that happened. But Cam Fleming, he's a solid backup, but he's going to have struggles. And I mean, what is he in year like 5, 6 now? Like, I don't think we're banging on potential.
No.
You can say the Giants have a new O-line coach. Well, he was the one guy who got to work with Mark Colombo last year, and he wasn't amazing. He wasn't horrible, but he wasn't amazing. So I think Nick Gates has potential. He's showed to be a hard worker. It kind of sucks that he's been practicing center all offseason. But you know what? He moved around a ton last year, and he fared well every time he got a chance.
Well, here's a spin zone, and here's a good thing about, you know, if you're going to say it sucks that Gates practiced center all offseason. When's the last time that we were in a position of kind of like luxury with this offensive line? I understand maybe none of these guys are going to be all pro caliber players. Kevin Zeitler's probably the closest to it.
Andrew Thomas will be.
And again, you're banking on potential. You're banking on ceiling with that. But if Pulley goes down, you have an option of, hey, Gates can be thrown to center. And then you can have Fleming start at right tackle. If Pulley goes down, you're talking about maybe possibly Lemieux stepping in. If a tackle goes down, you're talking about possibly having Parrott step in. So it's kind of nice that we have depth, and it's not like, oh, well, who the hell is Chad Wheeler and why is he on, you know, he's the third tackle on this football team when Eric Flowers is one of the worst left tackles to begin with in the NFL. So, and we have this question in our Patreon chat right now from Matthew Johnson, talking about, do other teams have offensive line issues like us and you just don't hear about it? I feel like the Giants have been working on this offensive line forever. You're right. We've been working on this line forever, partially because of bad drafting and bad personnel decisions. But it's kind of nice that if one guy or even two guys, Bobby, if they go down this year for whatever reason, you don't feel like it's the end of the world.
Yeah. Now that I'm thinking about it, Justin, I think I might still be on Nick Gates for center because I think he could be really good and that could be his long-term spot. So I don't know. If Nick Gates is at center, I won't be disappointed with having Cam Fleming at right tackle. But
yeah,
I will be pissed off if Spencer Pulley is starting at center and Cam Fleming is playing right tackle. Then I will be friggin' livid. But if Nick Gates is starting at center or right tackle, I'd be happy. The more I'm thinking about it, it's like, I kind of believe in Nick Gates at center. He's been practicing there. They did sign Cam Fleming for a situation like this. So maybe, you know, think about it this way. Say Nate Solder gets hurt week 4. Do you think they're going to put Spencer Pulley in and then move Nick Gates to right tackle? I think the more likely thing is you leave Nick Gates at center and put Cam Fleming at right tackle. That being said, we don't know their exact plans for Nick Gates. So I think the moral of what I'm saying, Justin, is Nick Gates should be starting week 1 somewhere. Center or right tackle, somewhere. Not left somewhere. Tackle.
Yeah, I think it's also a scheme thing, and I don't know if either of us are qualified to answer this question right now. I know you love scheme. But it's a matter of what's more important for Mark Colombo's and Jason Garrett's offensive line. Is it having the anchor in the middle, having your Travis Frederick? Because also the one position you can say that has changed as the years have gone on for Dallas has been that right tackle. I remember they had Doug Free, Leo Collins was in there. They're both good football players in both regards, but Do you need more of that anchor in the middle of the offensive line for Jason Garrett's offense, or do you need that solid, consistent right tackle in Garrett's offense?
Well, with a mobile guy like Jones, you know, like we said when we first talked about this with in February when we did our offensive line review, you'd much rather have a car crash happening in front of you so you can dodge it than behind you where you can't see it on your blind side. So with Jones' mobility, you can deal with a little bit of struggles at right tackle because he's able to get outside of the pocket. So
yeah, or even stepping up in the pocket, which I know Jones needs to work on his pocket mobility. I think I would almost rather have that quote unquote car crash coming on his right side, definitely instead of it coming up the middle or on the left side.
Agreed.
So that's where so I think our brain is in the same spot there.
So. I have to give myself a definitive answer. Do I want Nick Gates at center or do I want him at the right tackle?
You don't need to do it until the PPP. This is a lot.
I literally have a headache right now because I recorded Talking Sports before this. I was watching film of a player who we'll get to in the mailbag section. You know me, Justin. When stuff like this happens, I just go and like, do not call me. Do not text me. Just like panic. Look up stats. Look up numbers. Find information. Watch film. I literally am like go nuts like Tommy Boy, like when he's trying to make a sale in that movie Tommy Boy. So
and you know what's crazy? I think 70% of Giants fans listening to this podcast right now have no idea that we even made a transactional move in terms of signing somebody.
That's right. I almost forgot about that. I almost forgot to put that on the lineup. So we talked about let me go through my notes. So we talked about the bonus. We're going to talk about maybe some possible replacements in the mailbag, or not even replacements, just players. All right, so I guess the Giants, there is some just flat-out news for the Giants. One, we'll go David Sills, my pick to be wide receiver 5, Justin, was put on the COVID list. I believe that means he's out for 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, I don't think it means that he's done, but it's just not good. The dude just can't catch a break.
Yeah, so I think he is quarantined for 2 weeks. Even though I think he might be cleared earlier because they don't like because it's medical stuff they don't give you all the details. So right. There's that. But you know we talked about in the last episode the Giants waived Malcolm Elmore, the rookie. They claimed from the Broncos cornerback Shaq Taylor. Justin, he played with the Colts last year as an undrafted free agent out of Kansas. He played 5 games, and he had one game against the Texans where he played 50% of the snaps. And so, when I go to look at this guy, Justin, I have no expectations. I'm like, okay, some guy won't make the team. And I'm not predicting he's going to make the team. But he played 50% of the snaps against a Texans team with a QB who buys time with his legs and Deshaun Watson. And he was lined up against, you know, DeAndre Hopkins at times. He was pretty good. He played nickel, like jam corner, so like bump and run man coverage, which we know Patrick Graham loves. And he fared pretty solid. He gave up 2 catches. One was on a complete rub route, so it wasn't on it really his fault. And the second one was didn't count because it was a penalty, but nonetheless, it was a catch. It was on DeAndre Hopkins out of the slot, and he played tight on him. Hopkins just made a nice catch, and Hopkins, you know, there's an argument to be made he's the best wide receiver in the NFL. So. Listen, I'm not predicting this guy's going to be make the roster, and he's not a replacement for DeAndre Baker, but I think he's good enough to get a shot. Where I wouldn't be shocked if he makes the team. Whereas going into it, you're like, okay, they signed this guy who played 5 games, the most snaps he played was 50%. I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch this guy to just do my homework. But I wasn't expecting much. I was kind of surprised at what I saw from him.
Yeah, the one thing that I liked about some of your tweets that you put out was the fact that this dude was physical and he had his hands on wide receivers and he was playing press, and that's Patrick Graham. That's Patrick Graham's. That's his forte. I'm sure that's one of the reasons why they picked him up. So I feel like, I guess Patrick Graham doesn't run a unique system, but it's a backyard ball system. It's not a ton of zone coverage with your corners. Your corners are playing a lot of man-to-man. They're playing a lot of press. They're very close to their wide receivers. So if you can pick up a guy who has done that before, number one, and has somewhat success with it, number two, I'm for it. Big time.
Yeah. All right. Is there any other news we need to hit before we hit some mailbag questions?
Oh, gosh. No, we got a decent amount of mailbag questions, so I'm ready to get rolling on that.
All right, let's read an ad, and then we'll do mailbag. Let's talk about DraftKings. DraftKings has brought their expertise to legal sports betting. It's a legitimate sports book based right here in the U.S. so you can rest assured that your funds are totally secure. DraftKings is America's top-rated sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and reliable. You can deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. If you're an NBA fan like me, you place a $25 bet on who you think will be crowned the champion at the end of the season before tip-off of the first game and get a $25 free bet to use on a single game bet for the first 2 days of the resumed season. Bet on the Magic over the Raptors. Maybe get an upset. I don't know. New users get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. During this week, there will be golf, MLB, MMA, and more. Head to the app right now and check out all they have to offer, including player props, live betting, and so much more. If a sports book is not yet available in your state, don't forget about the DraftKings Fantasy app. For this week's golf tournament, they're offering a share of $1 million. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code JOHNBOY when you sign up. For a limited time, all new users can get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. That's right. DraftKings Sportsbook has a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Just enter code JOHNBOY when you sign up. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 years or older. New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Mail time.
Mail time.
The mail's here. Come on.
Here's the mail. It never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail.
All right, thanks, Steve from Blue's Clues. Justin, let's get into the mail.
All right, let's get into the mail. Carlos Rodriguez at Big Blue Issues asked, do you think that the league would turn to replacement players should enough football players opt out?
No, because I think the NFL would do everything they could to stop guys from opting out. And I know, like, you know, Nate Solder's a big one and the Patriots got hit hard, but I don't think a ton of guys are going to opt out. I don't know. With the NFLPA, I cannot believe they pulled off the fact that their contracts roll over. I really can't believe they pulled that off. I can't believe the NFL let that slide. No, just because you're bringing them into a pandemic. You know, like, they're coming into the same pandemic, whereas, you know, they're going to be losing money. I just think they would just cancel the season if there wasn't enough guys to play.
Yeah, and also, let's just think of bottom of the barrel Giants roster members. Why would Dravon Askew Henry? Why would Dominique Ross? Why would Tay Crowder, even though Tay Crowder was just placed on some kind of COVID-19 list?
No, it's not a yikes. COVID-19 list. I think he just has like some kind, a non-football injury list.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, not there's too many lists.
That could be a hangnail. That I don't know what that is.
Too many lists these days. But why would these bottom of the barrel guys? And this is kind of screwed up. Where even if they want to opt out, Bobby, if they kind of opt out, that's kind of it. Unless a team really wants to take a chance on them the next year, because they have a chance if some of these guys like Nate Solder, who they've had full and successful NFL careers, if they feel like they want to make that decision for themselves, it's not a good like professional career move to opt out of the season, because you're losing a year of football, and I think teams would be hesitant, especially if you're going to be a free agent and you're somewhat older, or if you're younger and you haven't proven anything, they would be hesitant to bring you back. So I think these guys, you know, if you're fighting for, you know, being the 80th man or the 90th man on the roster, they ain't opting out. They're gonna play.
I agree.
Mr. Brownstone asks, when is Justin moving to Florida?
When you guys start bullying him enough. You're not bullying him enough. I'm doing as much bullying as I possibly can. Hashtag bully yeah. Justin to Florida. You guys aren't bullying him enough.
We're about 20% of the way there. If we get those 100 patrons, I'll consider it. Before the season.
See, you're asking them to pay to move you to Florida, and I don't like that. I want you to just be bullied.
Okay. Thank you for asking, Mr. Brownstone.
If you don't move to Florida, the next time I see you, I will like literally like high school bully you. I'm gonna push you around, and I might just hit you with like a baseball bat or something. That's not really bullying. That's more like aggravated battery, but still. And then I'll bully you. Say, so you're gonna call the cops on me, you little wimp.
little wuss. I'm gonna call the cops. Oh boy. Okay. Jack Corderaro.
I was listening to something the other day, and they actually no, it's just the way they're talking about like workplace violations, and the guy made the joke like, "Oh, I feel harassed by you," and then he's like, "You feel harassed by me?" And the third co-host is like, "That's how it starts." He's like, "Oh, you feel harassed by me?" And that's how workplace harassment goes under the rugs.
You would fit in. You would fit in so well in the Bronx at the John Boy Media offices. You would fit in so well.
I probably won it, honestly.
I think that was sarcasm. Jack Corderaro, friend of the program. I'm in a competition with you and Snacks about how many times I can appear on his podcast. I think I'm up to like four.
I was on it. It should be out like today. So
yeah. So you're catching up with me. I don't like it. Will Carter Coughlin get some reps in this year at Edge? And do you guys think he can battle for a starting position?
I think Carter Coughlin is one of the guys who can make the roster without being like first or second on the depth chart. But with Golden, Ximenez, Fackrell, and Lorenzo Carter, I don't see him getting many reps year one. Obviously, injuries happen, and you know guys move up. But I don't see him getting many reps this year, Justin. Maybe like 5-6 a game. And that's not even like he's not good. I just think like it's just there's too many guys ahead of him. You know, Fackrell will sign. Carter, they're still invested in him. Ximenez, a lot invested in him. And then Golden, we didn't bring him back to not play a ton.
Right. Yeah, go out and be a nut on special teams. Make some big hits. Make us go, ooh, and ah. And then maybe, you know, work your way into the starting lineup a little bit for those couple reps a game. Don't think he's going to be starting Jack, but will he get reps at Edge this year? Absolutely. Give him the shots. Gonna need it. Like always it. Good to have a rotation going.
Mr. Brown said, "Don't remember what J-Rock said, Bobby. Spin more rhymes than a lazy Susan, and DeAndre Baker is innocent till his guilt is proven."
That was a lot.
Hold on. I have something on my phone for Mr. Brownstone. See, this is what happens when you're a patron. You get to inspire me mid-show. And Mr. Brownstone really knows what gets me going. Because you guys know, I watch Trailer Park Boys and I just clip it. I got this one. I love it.
Sorry if this is your first time listening.
I have this gif. That gif is going to be used in a good way one day. All right, move on.
It's in the favorites of that camera roll. Just waiting for the right time. Been there.
I have Trailer Park Boys has its own album in my photos.
At Red Yeti 9. Love the podcast, but when will Bobby drop the TPB stuff? Don't know what that is.
Trailer Park Boys.
Oh, good.
Who said that?
It's Tauzinho at Red Yeti 9.
It's the off season. Let me have a little fun. How about that?
Justin and Snacks never sound sold on the identity. You're an insightful and smart crew and clearly spend time and effort perfecting your craft, which is a far cry from the petty felons that Bobby idolizes. Oh my God. First of all, I do need to say big compliment to Snacks. Just
is that a burner
in here.
Account? I need to pull this guy up. I need to see if he even follows me.
No, he's been a follower for a very long time. Hold had on. A lot of great interactions, but big compliments to Snacks throwing him amongst you and I.
No, he doesn't even follow me.
Oh.
Screw you, man.
That's really mean. Oh, he follows me.
I love him. I like him, but I'm just going to... Oh, he's having fun. You didn't put the laughing emojis and stuff like that. I love it, but when Bobby... It's the off season. Do you think I'm going to be talking about Ricky and the boy? It's funny he asked that right after I did a Trailer Park Boys rant.
Yeah, it is. Great timing. It's because we have great radio, you and I.
Okay. So he was saying what we do is good, which is a far cry from what the petty felons that Bobby idolized. Okay. I thought he was saying that, like, All right, never mind. I misunderstood the conversation. But follow me,
Thought he was calling you a felon?
Yeah, that's basically what I thought. He was like saying I'm like one of them. It's like, no, I just think they're funny.
Yeah, Bobby really gets along with... he really wanted DeAndre Baker and Plaxico Burress in his quarantine crew a couple months ago.
I really wanted.
Just the Giants fan podcast asks, can the boot be one previously worn by a manure farmer? Hashtag make Justin lick.
Explain how this came about.
So somebody that we don't like.
An enemy of the show.
And not a friend of the program. tweeted out that Cam Fleming should be starting at left tackle.
Unbelievable. So, when you guys thought that, I win, by the way. I win that battle. That tweet, like, you can make an argument for him. That tweet says, Bobby wins. He was the one that was right. Never mind. He was the reasonable one.
That's a tough look if you're going to be celebrating that you win because Nate Solder has opted out of the season.
No, that's a tough look. Not that tweet. I'm saying the Cam Fleming should start at left tackle tweet.
Oh, no, I thought you were celebrating that you were going to be right about Andrew Thomas at left tackle.
No, the Cam Fleming should start at left tackle tweet shows that I'm the logical person that was that was that battle. I just get a little heated sometimes in my logic.
So you responded logically, and then I said, if Cam Fleming starts at left tackle week one, I will lick a shoe.
I hope he gets one rep at left tackle to start the season.
Well, I think Danny King also quote tweeted and said, I hope like he gets like 5 to 6 reps to start and then he gets pulled.
Jody Wright is the assistant O-line coach. He follows me, so maybe I'll shoot him a DM. But like, just start Fleming it there just for one play.
And I had to make clear that the shoe licking will be like either top to bottom or bottom to top, one clean lick through. I can't like just put my tongue for 5 seconds. Now, I'm serious. I would much rather lick a shoe than do the milk challenge. So I promise this will happen if Cam Fleming does start at left tackle.
Do the milk challenge. How about that? We don't trust
you. I may even just lick a shoe to lick a shoe.
You should drink the gallon of milk out of a shoe.
Oh. No. Best of both worlds. At Life NYG, with Solder being out, what do you think happens with the rest of the line? Assuming Thomas takes the left tackle spot, who do you all having taking the right tackle spot? Gates, Fleming, or Perry? If Gates, who was one winning the spot, who does that mean for the center spot? We did that. I thank you for asking that question. That question was so good that we already answered it.
We spent 30 minutes on it. It was such a good question.
Yeah. Gazman Superstar 2.
Superstar.
Thank you. You didn't do it. That's why I was waiting for you. If you mentioned Saquon in any tweet, what is the average time before people tell you how bad a pick that was?
That really is annoying.
And why will it carry on for the next 50 years? Bobby, I think if the Giants win a Super Bowl,
that's the only way. It's the only way. Or if we're just like consistent, like deep in the playoffs.
Nope.
That's what's so annoying. It's like, even if you completely disagree with the pick, it's like, can you just be a fan and not like, it's so silly when people are like that, but it is what it is. I like Saquon.
I'm not like that. I love Saquon, but I will always disagree with that pick.
And that's fine. That's fine. But the like people that have like disdain for the guy is just nuts.
Are we done? We're good. We're good with that.
Yeah,
I feel good.
You know what? It's nice to have the best running back in the NFL. You may just, but like you now that he's here, you should enjoy that.
At enter name here 33. Since we have $20 million free in cap space, would you guys be down signing Clowney or another free agent that's out there? And I believe that we also have another question that is similar to that. Do you see the Giants picking up a tackle from waiver wire or picking up a free agent? And that's at Lou_Dave77.
All right, so I went and looked at some free agents. Clowney would be fun, man, but I just feel like then you're really burying like Ximénez and Carter and guys, and it would be a 1-year deal. But it would be fun and it would improve the defense. Like it would change our defense pretty good, Clowney. But I think the cap space now, we don't know because nobody knows, but I think the open cap space rolls over to the next year because they're going to be losing cap space due to the lost revenue this year. So they might not be like as crazy to spend this, but there could be some guys. Like I look at Justin Britt, the center out of Seattle who got hurt last year. Shout out G-Man HQ. He's actually a Patreon, Chuck Vitolo. Because I said I was going to watch his film, and he said he's like really physical. He's a good player, but he has some mental mistakes. I watched one half of a game against the Rams. Granted, it's against the Rams. And he missed 2 stunts where he should have had it. So I'm not going to bang on the table. Granted, like I said, I watched one half. So the rest of his career could be amazing, and those could be the only 2 stunts he missed. But he is good in the run game. He gets to the second level real well. So that is a signing I probably would welcome for the right price, actually, because I watched Spencer Pulley get bullied by the Jets. So I think he'd probably be an upgrade, but he did have an injury issue. Logan Ryan's another one I would be behind. Some people say Logan Ryan was bad last year. I'm going to be honest. I didn't watch much Logan Ryan film.
I'm going to Keep talking. I'm going to pull up Logan Ryan's stats that he allowed.
Everson Griffin, he's an older one, but he couldn't. Darquez Darnard, Dre Kirkpatrick, a couple corners.
Oh, wait, Darquez is still available?
Yes, he is.
Oh, sign him. I want him. I love him.
And then the other guy who's available, Alec Ogletree.
Oh, stop it. Logan Ryan. First of all, how Logan Ryan was ranked 60th on the NFL 100 list.
Oh, we're getting mad about that list? Is that what we're doing?
My jaw dropped to the floor. I really don't care, but I saw it and my jaw dropped to the floor. Bobby, if a wide receiver has this kind of season, you're loving him. So, Logan Ryan, 68 completions allowed, on 103 targets, that's a 68 completion percentage, 781 yards, that's 11.5 yards per completion, and 5 touchdowns. That's an awesome fantasy season.
Not for a number one, though. That's not that good. 68 for 705 touchdowns?
You're drafting this guy in the 70 to 80s range, and you're feeling good about the upside.
Yeah, but was that like his only year that it was bad like that? Because, I mean, Logan Ryan didn't get a name for nothing.
Last year, it was 64 targets, 43 completions on 14 games, 515 yards, 12 yards per completion, 2 touchdowns.
So that's good. I'm not going to judge Logan Ryan without watching him. So it could be an option.
Reasonable.
And you know what? It'd probably be better than Sam Beal. So yeah, if you get a reasonable deal. And then Alec Ogletree, bring him back.
Stop. Did you see Daniel Jones? He was carrying the trash bag today into the locker room.
I did see that.
That was very nice of Daniel Jones to
bring. Dwayne Haskins.
It was, no, I say Alec Ogletree. It was very nice of Daniel Jones to bring Alec Ogletree back into the facility today by carrying, he was in the trash bag.
I think you're so funny.
Yeah. We have one more question, but it's very, I want to spend more time on the clowny thing because people want to hear it.
All right, go.
People want to hear it because Dan Muscato, at Dan Muscato, now that Solder's opted out, do you see the Giants using that money elsewhere? Not saying clowny. Obviously, he's good. Or he's good on that, but someone like a Logan Ryan. So I'm kind of like, Bobby's like being reasonable and saying, no, you know, I actually have to watch Logan Ryan. He's being reasonable and silly.
Hey, but that's why people like us, because they know we're not just going to just say stuff like Paul Dottino. Paul Dottino didn't deserve that. I don't know. I just thought someone who just says stuff off without actually like knowing it.
All right.
Don't dislike Paul. I'm sorry, Paul.
If it happens, if Dave Gettleman, who there were some rumblings that he wanted Clowney, but who doesn't, right? There were some rumblings that he wanted him. If Davey G just whips it out.
They take it easy there.
He whips it out and says, I want you, Davion Clowney, and he's on my football team. I'm not hating it.
Me either.
I'm like, okay, like, you know, we're not a win now team. We need to see Dave Gettleman's batting average increase with like Carter, Ximenez, Golden's coming back. Let's give him a chance to prove it. But at the same time, I feel a lot better about the defense. And I think I would very much be extremely, extremely excited over it.
I would 100% be excited too, Justin. I'm not saying that. I just don't think it's going to happen with the whole cap rollover thing and the fact that Nate Solder's on the books for next year now. Well, I mean, he already was, but like, you know, it rolls over for on the books for 2 more years. So, and Clowney would be a 1-year deal anyways. Maybe they get Clowney on a 3-year deal for $15 million a year. Then it makes a little more sense. I just don't think it's going to happen at this point. Although Clowney seems desperate. He was asking the Jets to come sign him.
Yeah, that was strange. What was I going to say? Well, Dave Gettleman is the king of dead cap money, and it's been a couple years since we've been number one.
Cap money.
It's been a couple years. I think, 1 year, because last year...
All the dead cap's year, gone now.
It's gone now, but I'm saying that I think Dave Gettleman is getting a little restless about, I'm very mad that I don't have a lot of dead cap on the books, so maybe we cut Solder, we go right back up those rankings.
I mean, we're going to cut Solder eventually anyway, so don't... Gosh, it is crazy that contract is... Well, I guess it's only 2 years in, but time flies.
We have to be number one. We have to be number one in something, and dead cap is... That's what it is.
You're not... You think you're so funny. You're not. There was one more question. I know for a fact there was one more question.
I don't have anything in my replies for my quote tweet. Oh, shoot. Dave Hernandez. How do you guys think Jabril will do in the new system? Big year incoming? Question mark. Can I answer this?
Yes, answer it.
Okay. So I talked a few weeks back, especially with this is a little bit with Anthony, who we've been thinking about Anthony sometime this week, especially as we're preparing for some PPPs and stuff like that. We love you and we miss you, bud. And then also during the What Makes Me Most Fearful episode, which I did that with Danny King, which some people thought that was a disaster, but the download numbers on that episode were pretty good too, Bobby. So
yeah, because I was missing and they wanted to see what the show was like without me. That's what it was.
Give the excuses. But anyway,
like, what is the show like without his ruler? Literally, that was the only episode I've ever done without me.
I'm optimistic about Jabril Peppers, especially if he's going to be playing next to Blake Martinez, which we will see that. We will see him playing next to Blake Martinez on passing downs, probably not on rushing downs, but on passing downs, we're going to see that. And he did that last year in James Betcher's system, too, and he looked pretty good. So I expect that to roll over, that success that he had, you know, being that strong safety and then that, you know, kind of in-the-box safety on third down, third down. I expect that success to continue. Where I think he could take step backs is if he has to play single high free safety. Yes, he has the athleticism to do it, but he played free safety in Cleveland. Now, I don't know if that was a single high system. I guess that's another homework assignment I have to do.
It was some too high stuff.
Played free safety his rookie year. Wasn't all that good. So I am nervous about... I understand he was a rookie, but I'm not going to be all like, this is Jabril Peppers is going to be great. He's going to be an all pro. He's going to be blah, 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 because I have hesitations about who is going to play free safety and can somebody actually do it effectively. That's a very hard thing to do. Single high safety. Antoine Bethea has been a pro for years and years and years. He's had a great, pretty solid NFL career, and he even had trouble with some of the mental parts of playing single high safety.
Was part of you happy when I sent you the text saying, hey, you have to do the show tonight because I have to put Lucy down because you got the control and do whatever you wanted?
No, that's a terrible question. Now, I love control. I love having control of things. But that is a terrible question, and I think that disturbs me that you would even ask that question.
You know how my mind works. I'm always thinking. Actually, I deleted all my texts because I was trying to save space on my phone. But you're like, I think you put it, I don't know. I'm messing with you.
I had it. I told you. I got it. I got the thing that we're going to talk about. I did know it pretty quickly after.
So you were excited. I get it. It's all right. No, I think Peppers will be fine this year. I don't know what his role is going to be, though. So that's the tricky question about this, Dave, is that I don't know what his role is going to be. And that's another like guy from preseason. It's like, we're not going to find out what Pepper's role is until they step out on the field Monday Night Football. So that'll be interesting. All right, so I think that's it for the mailbag, right?
That's it. That's an episode, Bobby Skinner.
I appreciate it. All right, well, we appreciate you guys joining us. You know, we're going 5 days a week now, so we can move up an episode and not feel like we're going to have too much of a gap in between. So tomorrow we'll be back with another player profile and projection. I think we got Zeitler and BJ Hill on the docket. I'm not sure. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Appreciate you. Talk then. Let's go Big Blue.